This podcast replay is brought to you by Caneswear.com. For all your Canes, Dolphins, and Heat needs, visit them at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Free shipping with online orders over $99. Go to Caneswear.com at Miami Fanwear. That's the spot where South Florida fans shop.
Thank you guys for sticking around with us throughout that last break. You are listening to the Miami Hurricanes Watch with myself, Mike McCoy, on the 305 Sports Talk Network. Got a nice little guest with us, joining us right now, and he goes by the name of Scott Patchen, number 71 with the Miami Hurricanes from, I believe it was, which class did you come in, Scott?
I was 15.
2015. Moved on to Colorado State University, had a nice little two-year run there. And he's joining us now live on the show. How you been, man?
Good, man. Good. Back in Tampa now, hunkered down. You know, just got done dealing with all the hurricane. What is it, Ian, Ian?
Yeah.
Doing a bunch of cleanup stuff like that. But, yeah, man, nothing crazy, man. How you doing?
Good to hear. I can't complain, man. Thanks for asking. I'm assuming everything okay with the family and, you know, home and, like, the physical, you know, your properties up there. Everything okay?
Yeah, man. All good. You know, nothing crazy. I mean, we didn't really get it that bad.
Okay.
You know, it was more down south. I think like Sarasota, Fort Myers, all those down there really got hit hard. But we made out, man, because it took that, you know, right turn. So.
Okay. That's good to hear, man, because, you know, I got some people up there that are, they were close to destruction or like in the middle of it and they came out, you know, shaky, but they're okay. So it's good to hear that you guys are good. And by the way, I am a big defender of this guy that's joining us on the show right now, because he took a lot of unwarranted heat by Canes fans that just didn't know what the hell they were talking about. So let me get my soapbox off real quick before we start talking to Scott on whatever I want to ask him. A lot of people like to give him heat because, you know, what the hell was he doing on the field? If Miami has this alien behind him by the name of Greg Rousseau, blah, 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 blah. Scott Patchen this, Scott Patchen that. Shut the hell up, because if you knew anything about anything, you'd remember and you'd know that Greg Rousseau wasn't available. Greg Rousseau wasn't available in 2019 before he got his first start at home against Virginia, which was Manny Diaz's first win versus a ranked team. I called that game for WVUM up in the booth. And so Greg Rousseau, he think he had a back injury over it during fall camp. And thank God Miami had somebody like Scott, because Scott was one of the best run defenders on the team. Okay. Really stout, really technical guy. And when you have a guy that comes in as a defensive end, is asked to switch over to tight end, then back to defensive end, tears his ACL in the process, and just does anything that the coach has asked him, because I'm a Cane. I'll do whatever it takes to win. His dad played here back in the day. All right. His brother was a Gator. We're not going to talk about that. But you defend guys like that. All right. You defend guys like that. And I call shame on anybody that talk crap about him. So there we go. No Scott Patchen slander allowed on the show. But Scott, man, thanks for joining us. Just wanted to ask you, man, you know, you've seen what's going on. 2-2. What's your take on the team so far? Because you know, have some guys that you were playing with and they were, you know, they're playing now. And, you know, I'm sure you're close to some of the guys that are still on the team. What do you gauge from the outside looking in? What the hell's going on?
Well, here's what I'll say. One, you know, I don't think we truly have a, you know, good understanding of what exactly is going on. And I wish I had a better one. You know, I think I have insight because, like you said, I've played with some of those guys, but you know, it's different when you're a part of the team and you know right. What the actual game plan is going into, you know, every week, you know what the team is trying to accomplish and how you're trying to attack, you know, that opponent and how you think, you know, that opponent is weak. But I can say this, though, because I went through a lot of coaching change in my show. I mean, in my, you know, career. But, you know, it's not easy. One, you got to get guys to buy in, you know, and if you don't buy in, if you're one of those guys and, you know, you're forced to play because of, you know, needs on the team or injuries, because I think the biggest thing people forget about is over the course of, you know, the season, attrition happens, you know, guys get hurt, banged up, you got to play with who you have. And it's not always the coach's first decision or, you know, the best guy on the field, you know, and that's just always the case and how it is sometimes. But tying that back in, you know, I don't really see, you know, this season being that big of a deal, regardless of how it turns out. I still think that they have a chance to be really successful in ACC play because ultimately, I mean, other than Clemson being Clemson, I don't really see, you know, anybody being that big of a threat. I think LSU, you know, wasn't that good of a team, and I think FSU is kind of riding momentum from that game. They've got a big, tall receiver from what I saw in a couple clips. But other than that, I don't see, like, you know, people that are jumping off the screen, you know what I mean? And, you know, I give Coach Cristobal, you know, 3-4 years for sure, and I'll have this program turned around. I think he can do it in 2-3, but, you know, just knowing how he is as a recruiter, I mean, every time he goes after, you know, a prospect from what I've seen, it's always a full court press. Right. I think he had really good recruiting classes when he was at Oregon. And I think he's a guy that deeply understands, you know, everything starts in the trenches. And I think those coaches really succeed in college football because they stress that, because they understand the importance of it. You know, as you get in there and you're trying to get, you know, a yard on fourth down, it's the important, you know, aspect of, you know, really.
You still there, Scott?
Miami's always had the skill players. It's never been the problem. But I think a few less drops in that Texas A&M game. And I think, you know, they lost off that one play. I don't even know who the returner was, but I mean, I don't know why he was going for the ball. He should have just called a poison or, you know, gave himself up with a fair catch. I don't really know what that was about, but I'm sure he probably got coached up on not to do that anymore and they're going to move on. But, you know, they're a play away from winning Texas A&M, who I don't really think Texas A&M was that good of a program this year either. I think they're a young team. I didn't really look into them that much, but I think they're young from what I've read. They had a really good recruiting class. I know that, but looking at the landscape of, you know, Miami's schedule and who they've played, I think, you know, it's a disappointing loss, you know, obviously versus, you know, Middle Tennessee. They just played down to their opponent. But like I said, I think that comes back on, you know, out recruiting, you know, the old culture, you know, and I know a lot about that culture, but of just not playing down to your opponents, because it's easy to fall into that mindset of a trap, you know, as far as they're not good, you know, like, what are we doing after the game? You know what I mean? Like, that happened a lot when I was there. I know that. I mean, I just think, you know, you give Coach Cristobal the time and he'll definitely bring in guys that are all about ball at the end of the day, you know, and want to be successful, you know, and yeah, let's give him some time, man. I don't think, you know, fans really got to, you know, I think everybody understands, you know, what Coach Cristobal did as far as assembling a staff, you know, and what the university did as far as going all in, you know, on sports. Finally, I think, you know, I'll just say there's no better time to still go to Miami than there is right now, you know, especially with what they're pouring into athletics. It's awesome to see, you know. Obviously the record doesn't really show what everybody, you know, wants to see, you know, at the end of the day, but I'm not worried. It's Coach Cristobal. You know, if anybody's going to get it turned around, if anybody's going to turn that program into, you know, a powerhouse program again, so.
No, 100%. And I mean, you are preaching to the choir, because this is a guy that been there, done that. We all know that. And he has been in several stops. He was here with Butch, recruiting for Butch, knew part of what it took to assemble the best college football team that anybody has ever seen, right? Had some time at Rutgers, FIU, Bama. Then he has his time at
Let's go back to FIU for a second, because I actually remember him at FIU. He went, like, didn't he take them to 2 bowl games after, like?
They won a bowl. I know T.Y. Hilton was on one of those teams that they won a bowl. I think it was somewhere up in Detroit where the Lions played. Whatever bowl game that was, they won a bowl. I think it was first ever FIU bowl win. And I'm not sure about the second time. I know that he got fired. It was ridiculously stupid that he got fired. But I know they definitely won a bowl game at FIU.
Yeah, sorry. I thought I remember hearing something about, like, an AD there, why he got fired. But I couldn't remember. But anyways, yeah, so I thought he did a good job, at least at FIU, you know, given, you know, the limited resources there at the time, obviously, and being able to, you know, bring in guys like TY that, you know, because when you you know, are able to, you know, have that I don't know what to call it, you know, just attribute as far as a coach or a person from the outside looking in and being able to identify talent, like, you know, I think people either have it or they don't. You know, you either miss or you know the guys because you know football. And I think Coach Cristobal is clearly one of those guys, you know, who can easily identify talent, you know, and not worry about, I think, or ignore, or, you know, not pay attention to the red flags.
Right.
In my regard and in my understanding, you know, and I think that's something that's really overlooked, you know, is just people tend to not focus on the red flags and they tend to look at the hype behind somebody. And whereas, you know, coaches, I think, you know, if you're a great recruiter, you're not just recruiting the stars, you're recruiting, you know, the guy that really pops on tape, who, you know, has height, length, you know, things you can build off of and, you know, grow and I think develop. And I think that's really overlooked too in today's game.
No, 100%. And then, you know, you can't measure heart, you can't measure effort, something that you, a lot of your game was predicated on. You know, again, you were technically sound. I remember you came in, I think you came in that class where Jadeveon Clowney was one of the top ends. And, you know, it was like a contrast. Like, he was pure athleticism, like 100% athleticism. And you had your athleticism, but you were, in my opinion, more technical than him coming out of high school.
Wait, and so you talking about Jadeveon Clowney?
You came in that, you and he came in that class, right? You were in the same class as Jadeveon, right?
No.
Going out of high school?
No, Jadeveon came out, I think, like, he was the 2013 or 2014 draft class.
Okay. Then it was
I was coming into college in 15.
Ah, okay. My fault. I'm thinking of somebody else then. What I did want to add, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, like, I remember, like, him and my brother, I think, went to the same NFL combine. That's why.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm mixing up the patches then. But let me ask you a question, because, you know what? I wasn't going to go there, but you kind of brought it up, and this is kind of what Miami's experiencing right now in terms of, like, locker room stuff. Without getting anybody in trouble, without, you know, revealing stuff that you probably shouldn't, you know, you talked about, yeah, you know, I was part of that culture. I know what that's like. There are still guys on this team that experienced, you know, the past regime, obviously, when you were there, what have you. Can you kind of talk about, you know, what goes into guys when they have, let's take DJ Ivy, for example, another guy who I really, really root for. And you probably saw him play one of the best games he's ever played against Texas A&M, right? Physical on the guys, on the receivers, you know, really tight with them and swatting balls away. And then it's just kind of weird because you hear about it, you know, and how he practices and how he looks great in practice. And physically, the guy looks like a first round pick. I mean, 6'1", 6'2", whatever he is, a buck 90, runs like the wind. I know he had an ACL in high school, but the dude looks like a great specimen at corner. Like, if you had to build one, that's the guy. Can you kind of talk about maybe, you know, guys not looking how they do in practice versus the game? Is there some type of disconnect there? And maybe a little bit of what you experienced, some of that old culture that is clearly going to take a long time to kind of remold or completely extract, so that some of this newness that the new coaching staff is trying to build and show these guys is going to take over. Can you kind of talk about that?
Yeah, well, let me just say this for the get-go is, and I don't know, DJ, we weren't like close, you know what I mean? But like, I don't want to sit here and say like DJ is one of those guys that fell into culture where, like, you know, you come into a trap game basically and you underestimate your guy. Like,
okay,
for all we know, like, Middle Tennessee could have been, because again, I don't watch film on Middle Tennessee. I don't know what they ran previously the first two or three games. But like, they could have came out with something completely different that they hadn't shown on film because they knew they were playing Miami, and it caught Miami off guard. And obviously you're in a dogfight with Middle Tennessee, which you should never be if you're Miami, mm-hmm. but this happens, you know, it shouldn't happen, but, you know, and it won't happen, I think, when you become an elite program, but nonetheless, it happens when you're obviously, you know, new regime comes in and you're trying to, you know, pretty much grow and develop your culture and what your ideas are, you know, as a team that you want to implement, you know, as far as mentality, you know, how you want to play on the field, et cetera. But, and they could have come out something completely different. And maybe that's why I didn't even, you know, pay attention to DJ that much, but maybe that's why he didn't look, you know, at his best. And that happens as an athlete too. You know, not everybody's going to have a perfect game every week. I think, you know, the better ones just have more consistent play. And that's, mm-hmm. you know, obviously I know that's something DJ is working towards, striving towards, you know, every week. And, you know, hopefully he just has an even better game this next week and proves everybody wrong. You know, that's what we all want to see. And, you know, we hope to see, but yeah, I mean, I definitely think that, you know, when I was there, the culture, and like, it wasn't bad culture with, you know, Diaz, but I'll say this, I just felt like there was a lot of like talk about who we were going to be, how, you know, and less of how we were going to be it, you know, like, it's cool. Yeah. I think we can beat this team, but like, let's get into more of the meat potatoes. Like, tell me how, like, you know, when they're running this play, why is this defense better? Like, I like to know that, you know what I mean? Like, I'm more of a guy that had like a methodical, like when I got to Colorado State, like that was that whole BC staff pretty much. And like, I fit in perfect with them because, you know, my coach would break everything down and tell me, mm-hmm. this is why this defense is going to work versus them, or this is why we at least think this defense is going to work versus them. And they weren't perfect because nobody's perfect. But, right. you know, sometimes teams come out with new plays, again, that catch you off guard and you're not, you know, 100%, you know, sound because, you know, the defenses that coaches are calling are meant to beat the certain plays that they've already, you know, game planned for. Right. So when they come out with something new, you're either trying to adapt or play your best defense. You know, it's basically a chess game between coordinators and getting the players in the right position. But sometimes, for example, you could have a blitz on and, you know, you could squirt somebody out of the backfield that wasn't, you know, really going to be there or originally planned to be there. And then now all of a sudden somebody that was taking a blitz pattern or, you know, a track inside, you know, defensive end, you know, maybe you didn't have the defensive end peeling that week and he didn't know he was going to have to peel because they never really flared a running back out. And then obviously the running back can pick up 10, 15, maybe a first down. And you know, it's little plays like that that can build up over the course of a game that I don't think people truly understand. You know, behind it, if it was just, you know, oh, we've got more five stars in this team, we should go out there and beat them every week, and Miami would still probably be, you know, winning. I get it, but like, that's not always the case. And it's, you know, it's really hard, I think, you know, in sports to really explain where there is that disconnect between, you know, fans and people inside the building that truly understand that. And to be honest with you, a lot of the time when I was at Miami, I didn't understand that either. You know, and it wasn't until I got with, again, that staff at BC, you know, not BC, but the staff from BC at Colorado right. State, you know, that I really started to be able to put that together. And I think that's why I flourished as a player, because I got that little substance in between and I knew exactly how I fit in the defense, you know, and that's where I really started to take control as a player and understand, like, all right, like when they're in this formation, I know the percentages of them running this play or this, you know, and I know, all right, well, they don't get in this formation a lot. That's a red flag. Like, you know, let me look for a trick play on this, you know, because this wasn't in their, you know, first three games or four games, et cetera. And I think, you know, a lot of the time when you see successful players on the field, you know, truly like they're better, you know, best players. Like I can guarantee you right now, like Pink and Shaq were probably doing that. You know, I don't have to ask them, but I can probably guarantee they were both doing that, you know, because that's how they were on the field. But I didn't figure that out as a younger player, you know, and, you know, I'm kicking myself because I didn't know how to then, you know, and it wasn't again until I got with that one coaching staff that, you know, helped me as a player. But, you know, right. sometimes all it takes is, you know, just a new, you know, change of scene for a player, you know, too. Mm-hmm. I'm not like DJ would have benefited from that either, but sometimes players can benefit from that, getting, you know, in front of new faces that, you know, show them a different perspective on how to look at certain, you know, plays or, you know, schemes and all that too. So that's something to take into account too. Nobody's perfect. Nobody makes the right choice off the rip, you know, but that's my thoughts pretty much on that.
Okay. Okay. Well, thanks for that, because I mean, and by the way, you're listening to Miami Hurricanes Watch with Mike McCoy on the Sports Talk 305 Network. Scott Patson on with us, not former Miami Hurricane, because once a Cane, always a Cane. I'll go ahead and say former football player with the Miami Hurricanes, transferred to Colorado State. Had some nice seasons there at Colorado State. Finished, I think he were like a first team Mountain West in 2020. And let me see, what are you, Bednarik Award watch list in 2021, Nagurski Trophy watch list in 2021. And so he's joining us right now. And yeah, man, because I wanted to ask you about that, because that's the talk a lot about the issues that Miami may be facing right now in terms of, you know, beating a team that you, or not beating a team that you shouldn't have beaten, or just inconsistencies that seems to never have left the program for years on end. And this is stuff going back to Golden and then Rake and then Diaz. And then now, you know, we're seeing them now. And so, I mean, I wanted to ask you about it because after the Middle Tennessee State loss, right after in the postgame press conference, there's a couple of players that pretty much hinted that, yeah, we may have overlooked them. They didn't say those words, so I don't want to put words in their mouth. But kind of reading between the lines and just kind of looking at their mannerisms and what they were saying. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and say it because it's out there. Jakai Clark said that the energy wasn't there in the pregame. And so, you know, we kind of, our minds weren't where they were supposed to be. I take that as not mentally prepping or, you know, not doing what you need to do to make sure that you are out of the game by halftime, because that's the goal. Everybody, I like to see the young guys play. They need the reps. They want the reps. They deserve the reps if they're, you know, doing what they need to do in practice. And so I wanted to ask you about that. And pretty much what you were saying is, yes, they were giving you the how, but, you know, you wanted to know more the why, because that could go a long way in your performance on the field. Let me ask you something. You were part of that team that was, I think you guys were like on a three-game winning streak. You guys beat FSU 27-10. Then you go out and beat Louisville. I called that game 2 for WVUM. Big game for Jaren Williams. And then the FIU game happens, right? And then, I mean, I'm going to compare this Middle Tennessee State game to FIU. I still think FIU is the worst loss in program history. When you coming off of a game like that, because I'm comparing that game, the FIU game and the Middle Tennessee game also because, you know, the following week, you guys had Duke. You go to Duke, lose that one by 10 points. This is a very important game for Miami. It's not towards the end of the season, you know, where things were kind of already maybe people's heads were elsewhere. But this is the first game in the ACC, and there's a lot riding on this game. Only five games into the season, you know, a loss would not bode well for Miami, even though, yes, it would only be one ACC loss. But still, had going, you know, two-game losing streak over 3 weeks because you had a bad taste in your mouth after a bye week. Can you kind of take me in the minds of what guys should be going through or how they should be prepping, at least mentally, for this game? Are you hungry? Were you hungry after that FIU loss? Were you pissed off? I mean, what needs to be going on right now? Because in my opinion, from the outside looking in as a fan and alum, I'm pissed. and my hair is on fire. Like, give me a helmet. Like, let's go. And if I feel that way, I know there's got to be guys in the locker room that feel that way. How is that if it's not contagious?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd agree with you. That FIU loss was pitiful. And I really can't speak to it that much because I barely played, to be honest. That was, I think that was around the time. I think Diaz was trying to, like, phase me out or whatever the deal was. But Trayvon and was getting more snaps than me. And obviously Greg right. And Garv were getting all the snaps at that point. And then, you know, so I was already pissed off, put it like that. But, like, but I think easily as a player, you know, especially if you're playing in that game and you felt embarrassed, like your mentality as a competitor should be like, all right, can't let that happen again. Can't let that slip. And I think, like I said, that at some point somebody asked me after the North Carolina loss, like, you know, earlier that year, like, you know, it's the same thing. You just don't want to have that, you know, thought process as, you know, a teammate, like, I don't want to let my teammates down. And I think like, you know, when you're really a team player, like, I definitely know Coach Cristobal's recruiting, you don't want to let that happen. So that's your main goal as a player. Like, can't let my teammates down. How do I improve this week? Like, where were my MAs? If I had any busts, where were those at? You know, like, how do I correct that? Like, getting with my position coach, meeting extra, you know, taking all the next necessary steps and, you know, elevating your game as a player. Because, you know, you look at it, you know, however you want, you basically got 12 one-week seasons. You know, if you really want to take it that seriously and break it up like that. I had a roommate at CSU, Cam, who I think he transferred to Liberty. Yeah, he's at Liberty right now. He's the starting center for Liberty. And me and him used to talk all the time, like, when I was at Colorado State, because he was starting there too. But, you know, one-week seasons, you know, because we weren't doing good either. We ended up like 3-9 my last year at Colorado State. But, you know, and it's not necessarily like, you know, when you're in a losing season, you want to play for yourself, even though a lot of guys do. But you'd have to take it 1 week at a time, you know, during the season, because – that's all you can do. It's not even like when you're in a losing situation, you can play for yourself, because you still have to play within the scheme. Because when you play within the scheme is where you're actually available to make more plays. Because when you try to play or be Superman outside of the scheme is where you see mistakes happen and a lot of, you know, just bad things is what I'll call them.
Right.
Bust, MAs, all that. Mm-hmm. So I think kids, you know, should really focus on not being Superman and really focus on, you know, honing in on their assignments, you know, and just getting back to the basics and then letting their effort and heart take place on the field within the scheme, within the play calling.
Fair enough. I mean, look, Miami definitely has talent. Miami is not void of talent. One thing that you know, I'm going to go ahead and say, I really don't think that the cupboard was left bare by Manny for Mario. I mean, there was talent there. Can there be, you know, more issues? I'm sorry, not more issues, but more help in terms of depth? Sure. That's why Mario hit the portal like he did, especially in the trenches. And, you know, a bunch of guys on the D-line and a couple of guys from Oregon on the O-line. And, you know, here we are. But in also some skill positions. But it's just frustrating because, and I get it. Like, what you were saying, you got to, you know, trust the guy next to you to make the move or make the tackle or be where he is supposed to be. And I'm assuming for a guy that's never really played organized football, I'm just, you know, one of the backyard all-stars like that, you know, it's different. It's different. And, you know, coming from, I guess what I'm trying to say is unlearning the bad is taking longer than people expected. And I'm going to go ahead and say that I drank the Kool-Aid in the preseason, because I'm just thinking, you know, it's going to be quicker than I thought. Definitely didn't see a loss to Middle Tennessee State. I was happy how Miami looked in a loss, if that makes sense, to Texas A&M, because I think they showed up. They kicked their ass, all right? They really did. You look at the box score, and I know that the box score doesn't always tell the story, but if you watch that game, Miami kicked their ass. They did whatever they wanted to do, except when they got inside the 20. So when you see that, and then you have a loss against Middle Tennessee State, it's like, what happened, in the week before, or in the week between that? So, you know, I just wanted to ask you about the FIU loss, because, you know, the next week, like I said, you guys went out, went up to Duke, didn't have a great showing, ended up losing, I think it was by 10 points in a rainy game. And so this is at home against a team that scores a lot of points against a pretty good quarterback, and probably one of the, not one of, this is the best quarterback Miami's played so far this year, all right? He's better than Bethune's quarterback, better than Southern Miss's quarterback, better than Max Johnson over at Texas A&M, and better than this, I think his name was Chase Cunningham, over at Middle Tennessee State. So right now, this is the best quarterback Miami has seen, and these guys put up points. So, you know, it's easier said than done. I don't want to go ahead and play armchair quarterback or anything like that, but it's just like, it's human nature. And I know what I feel like, all right, especially if I know that we're more talented than this team. So thanks for breaking that down. And, you know, before I let you go, because I know Scott was telling me, guys, he has to go hit the gym. You know, he's still staying ready, you know, just in case he gets that call from someone. So he's got to hit the gym after this. I'm going to go ahead and hit the gym after the show as well. But I just wanted to ask you, man, rest of the season outlook, okay? Assuming Miami goes ahead and gets this win. I think last time I checked, they were a 3-point favorite, which honestly was surprising to me. But what is it going to take for Matt from Miami? Obviously, a win this Saturday, but to kind of build on getting to where they need to be, because the goal is Charlotte.
Yeah. No, that's the goal. You're right about that. I think they have to continue to pound the rock. You know, I think, you know, make it easy for TVD. You know, I think the better you run the ball, the more you're going to pull guys into the box, you know, and then you just, it's a numbers game from that standpoint. Mm-hmm. So establish the run, continue to run the ball great like they have. And then on defense, you know, just get some more negative plays, man. You know, that's all it is. You know, create more havoc on defense. And it's simple, man. Like, I really want to, you know, get up there in the offseason and talk with, you know, Coach Steele and just learn his philosophy. But from what I watched, I like it. You know, I like their defense. You know, I think they bend, but they don't break at times. And, you know, I think that's a great, you know, mentality to have as a coach. You know, I think they play, you know, good, solid versus Max Johnson at Texas A&M. And I thought he added a different element to their team, you know, on the offensive side for sure, too, because they had a very similar week. They lost to, who was it, App State, I think.
Yep.
And they turned around, and, you know, they had a strong competitive game versus us, too, because if they weren't starting Max, I would have bet the house on, you know, Miami, too, that game. But I don't bet, you know, so don't ask me why I didn't bet.
Okay. Okay. Cool, man. Thanks for staying over. I know that we were supposed to get off this segment a couple minutes ago, but, you know, we were rolling, and, you know, you're an awesome guest, man. I'm just hoping this is not the last time we do this.
Nah, man. I'm happy to be on anytime you want, man.
Appreciate you, man. So I'm going to go ahead and let you go. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll see you guys on the other side of the break. You're listening to Miami Hurricanes Watch with Mike McCoy on the 305 Sports Network. We'll be right back.